You know, some people enjoy composing their own music, chord by chord, and others are happiest when they come across that one perfect song. Work is not a lot different than that. Whether you prefer building your own workflow or using a pre-made template, with Monday.com, you and the team can work in a way that's comfortable for everyone. Tap the banner to go to Monday.com and build your own amazing workflow, or find an awesome template. No judgment.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
Welcome back to Can You Survive This Podcast. My friend Brandon Morgan has returned for more. Welcome to the podcast, Brandon.
Great to be back, Jeff. Great to be back, man. Thank you. How are you?
Man, I'm fantastic.
All right. I mean, is that your real background? It's not your real background, is it?
This is a real studio. Can't you tell? Actually, I'm potentially moving to a studio. I've been shooting out of the home office, you know. But some people on the YouTube were sending me messages and asking what's up with the studio. Why are you in a living room? So temporary studio that you see here, very realistic.
Well, my friend and yours, Cody Blue Snyder, has a new podcast studio in the Valley.
Well, that's where I might be moving to.
Fantastic. He just reached out to me. I'm going to go check it out. Have you looked at the space yet? Do you like it?
Dude, I helped him build like a lot of the furniture in there.
No kidding.
Yeah, I helped him build the place. It's really cool.
And it's on Burbank Boulevard in the Valley, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Can't wait to go see it. I owe him a call.
It is honestly probably the coolest studio that you like someone could rent to do a podcast. And I'm not just saying that because I helped build it. It's pretty cool.
It's great.
So yeah, I'm thinking about moving over there and doing the real thing and making my YouTube videos look super HD and all cool. And as much as I love doing my my Zoom call podcast.
Yeah. Might be time to step it up a little bit.
It might be time to step it up. It might be time to step it up.
Yeah, so, I don't even have a YouTube component for Devil. It's just a purely audio. I just don't have the time.
Yeah. Yeah. So what's going on with Devil these days?
Things are good, man. Things are I've been into the weekly content for about 4 months now. Season 3, A Season in Hell, wrapped up in late January. So we had about 3 or 4 bonus episodes after the main 6 episode run ended. I interviewed the actor that I hired to play the voice of the killer, and that was super cool. He was great. He's this New York kind of methody kind of actor, so it was cool kind of digging into his kind of process. Then I interviewed a Los Angeles entertainment attorney named Matt Belinsky that you know. Mm-hmm. To kind of dive into the legal ramifications of the Son of Sam case that led to what's known as the Son of Sam laws, which are an attempt to prevent criminals from profiting off their crimes, which it went all the way to the Supreme Court because it's ultimately, what those laws were for the most part struck down based on First Amendment concerns. People should be able to tell their story. Like it would be really difficult. And Sandra Day O'Connor, who wrote for the majority, which was everybody, there were no dissents on the Supreme Court, basically was saying, as the laws are written out of New York, it would prevent someone from like Martin Luther King from writing a book about his story. Because at the time, what he was doing was illegal. Okay. So that was the kind of where the whole case kind of turned. There are still some states that have really limited versions of the Son of Sam laws. But for the most part, you're able to tell your story as a criminal. So that was interesting.
Okay, so let's tell the audience. Well, for someone who knows nothing, what is the Son of Sam case? And then so what were the Son of Sam laws that arose from that?
Yeah, the Son of Sam case was in New York in the late 70s, 76, 77. David Berkowitz was a local postal worker. He was a Vietnam veteran, but he was never actually in Vietnam. He was in Korea on the DMZ during the Vietnam War. And then he had some sort of mental break, according to doctors. According to him, his neighbor's dog was possessed by a 6,000-year-old demon and told him to gather the blood of the little girls and to go kill people. And so he went on a murder spree that lasted about 13 months, culminating in the summer of 77, which they call the Summer of Sam, where he had New York just basically petrified, just in fear. Like, no one wanted to go out. He would just roll up on young lovers sitting in a car and shoot them through the window.
Wow.
And, random attacks. There was no connection between any of the victims, no connection between locations, like nothing. The mafia got involved. The police reached out to the mob and said, "Hey, it's bad for everybody's business, right? Your gambling parlors and prostitution, right, and all that, those are all shut down because everyone's afraid, you know?" And so the mob tried to help. And then eventually it was the parking ticket that got him busted. He parked illegally, and someone saw him and said, "Wait, there was a car that was parked right here." They went, "Oh shit, let's find that parking ticket." They found it. It led right to him. The stupid bastard had a legally registered car in his name that led him right to him. And he confessed to like the whole thing. And so what led to the Son of Sam laws was, during the zoo that was his trial, a huge publishing house, Simon and Schuster, offered him $250,000 for his story. And now he had become public enemy number one. He was the face of fear and the face of evil, and he was killing these young girls, vibrant young girls and young men. And the city of New York, when New York gets together against something, it's a very powerful force. Okay. To all five boroughs were united against this guy Berkowitz and saying there's no fucking way that this guy who terrorized our city for the last 13 months should now get a payday. Okay. So they were hastily written laws. They went all the way to Albany, to the state house in Albany, and they were forced through. And that was Matt Belinsky's main takeaway from the whole thing, was that hastily written laws that are basically pushed through the legislature to appease a riotous kind of public mob. There's always going to be problems with laws like that. And there were problems with these, and they were for the most part struck down. So Berkowitz is one of the most famous serial killers that the United States has produced. It was sensationalized in the media because it was indicative of a bunch of other problems that were going on in New York at the time. New York was a cesspool, you know. The Times Square of today is like Disneyland compared to the crime-ridden, porn, dirty.
Were you spending a lot of time in New York at that time? Where
In
were
the
you in the world?
70s, I was wicked young, but when I first started running around New York in the early 90s, it was pre-Giuliani, so it was still really bad. Then Giuliani came in and he cleaned everything up. And now, geez, Central, Times Square is beautiful, man. Times Square is amazing.
Have you been back to New York lately?
I was there last October. Yeah,
Okay. Okay.
that's the most recent that I've been there. Yeah, it's
What's
great.
New York like now, like post-COVID? Is it back to how it
Yeah,
was
it's good.
5 years ago?
It's great.
Yeah.
It's great. A lot of new restaurants, a lot of old ones shut down, but a lot of new ones. The city, look, New York is New York, man. It's awesome. There's
Yeah.
no place like it, you know.
So did Sam, his name, what was his name? Sam Berkowitz?
David Berkowitz, Son of Sam, because he said in his in the right he was like a lot of serial killers do. They want attention, okay?
So
And they
he had like
like
a manifesto or something.
not really a manifesto, but he enjoyed being able to control the population by keeping them in fear, and he liked being able to toy with the police by leaving letters at crime scenes. Okay. And one of the first letters that he wrote, he identified himself as I am the son of Sam. And he was talking about an evil neighbor, excuse me, that lived next door that that like abused his kids. Evil guy. And that, okay. And then he also would say that Sam was the name of the demon that was talking through the dog that lived next door.
See, I thought it was going to be like an Uncle Sam thing. Like you mentioned, he was in Vietnam. And then
that's what people thought as well. People thought that maybe there was that connection because he was a soldier, son of Sam. But Berkowitz never really, he's still alive. He gives interviews all the fucking time, this guy.
Oh, yeah. He's in prison somewhere?
In prison in New York State. Yeah. And
did he get his big book payday?
He didn't want it. He's become incredibly contrite. He's turned down opportunities for parole. He writes letters to the governor of New York saying, please don't consider me for parole. I'm where I'm supposed to be. I ruined people's lives. I murdered those people. This is where I belong.
Wow.
And he's no longer the son of Sam. He calls himself the son of hope because, believe it or not, he found Jesus in jail.
Well, some people do is what I heard.
Some people do. A lot of people do. So he has a ministry in prison, and he helps a lot of guys, you know, find the Lord, I guess.
Wow. Did you interview him for your show?
No, I did not. He had just, I got kind of scooped two different ways by the same guy. Do you remember on Made Women, after the show went independent, the first guest that they had was this retired mobster called Michael Francesi.
Okay.
Who's gone on in the last 4 years to become a really, he's got a really big presence on social media. I'm not sure how he gets around the mob kind of omerta of silence, because he just talks about shit all the time, right? But he was a capo in the Colombo crime family out of Brooklyn. And so I wanted to talk to him about how, because he was there in the 70s, and he gave an interview that he talked to a police captain about working together to try and capture the son of Sam. So I'm like, oh, I got to talk to this fucking guy. This is amazing. And then I also wanted to talk to Berkowitz. And then while I was in the writing process and the research process, it gets released that Francesi interviewed Berkowitz about everything that I wanted to talk to both of them about. Like each guy that I wanted to talk to actually did like a 3-hour interview with each other. So that kind of.
So did you get to Francesi?
I didn't get to Francesi, and I didn't get to Berkowitz.
Or but did you just use their interview as research?
I couldn't even use that. But it, well, you know, there was a silver lining. I wound up getting to an FBI agent who specialized on the organized crime task force in the 70s and 80s. And so it was coming now from like a clinical kind of instructive point of view. And we got to hear, you know, how the, you know, the hierarchy of the mafia and where the families kind of operated, and how there have been times before the Son of Sam case where mafia interests and law enforcement interests aligned and they worked together, which was really interesting. So I wound up getting a lot more than I would have gotten. So it's one of those happy accidents, I guess.
Is the mafia still a thing these days?
Of course. Get it. Absolutely, dude.
So, okay. So Son of Sam was Devil Within season two or season three?
Season three.
What was season two?
Season two was called The Demons of Yorkshire. It was about an alleged demonic possession case in Yorkshire, England, also back in the 70s. It was right after the movie The Exorcist came out in 74. Made everybody think, holy shit, everybody's possessed. And demonic possession cases, reported cases spiked. Yeah.
Was season two out yet last time you were on the show?
Yeah. Season two was, let's see, season one was 2021. Season two was 2022. Season three was 2023. Yeah.
Okay. Because I thought I had you on in like November or October.
Yeah, but I think we just all talked about season one.
We only talked about season one. Oh, you want to talk about season two a little bit?
I'd rather talk about what I got coming up.
Yeah, tell me about what you got coming up.
Yeah, and then I got a surprise for you.
All right, what do you got?
So I'm going to be dropping soon a series called The Ides of April, which is a documentary series about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln.
Hang on, wait a second. What'd you just do to your microphone?
I don't know. Can you hear me now?
Okay, now you're good. Now you're good.
Whatever I said, Siri responded.
Oh, okay. I thought Abraham Lincoln's ghost
It's going to happen again. So,
was
The Ides
a
of April is a documentary series about the assassination of Abraham Lincoln,
yeah.
obviously by John Wilkes Booth in 1865. And it is the definitive account of this, following John Wilkes Booth as the protagonist of the series. There's a show out right now on Apple Plus called Manhunt that kind of covers the same material. And I wanted to love the show so much. I really did. But they got so much of it wrong, and I'm going to sound like a hater, but I'm not. I wanted to love it. And they took these creative liberties, I guess, in order to tell a more dynamic story. But if you know the facts of the case, and if you just live in the facts of the case, it's one of the most exciting stories that you could hear. And it's all true.
And how did you where how did you study this? How did you come to have the facts better than Apple?
Just researching it. And I love, I'm a student of early American political history. I've read every presidential biography that I can get my hands on. And about 10 years ago, I was be reading a biography about William Seward, who was Abraham Lincoln's Secretary of State. And I considered myself an educated person, and I wasn't aware that William Seward was also targeted for assassination, not only on the same night, but at the exact same time, along with the Vice President, Andrew Johnson. President, Vice President, Secretary of State were all targeted for assassination at exactly 10:15 on the same night, at the same time, by the same group of conspirators. Okay.
Oh, shit.
Right, whose goal was to completely decapitate the federal government, okay, in the days immediately following the surrender of the Confederacy at Appomattox, right, when Lee surrendered to Grant, because they were hoping that if they the conspirators were hoping if they could create the sense of turmoil in the North, that it would encourage the South to ignore the surrender and to take up arms again and strike one more time and have a decisive battle and actually win the Civil War. That was what John Wilkes Booth's goal was. And obviously he failed spectacularly. It's a case of one of the greatest kind of civic misjudgments of like a terrorist. Because that's
Oh, yeah.
basically what it is. Okay. He thought he was going to be a hero, at least to the South. He thought they were going to revere him and love him. And he was just shocked when the South took a posture of an extreme an apologetic posture and distancing themselves from Booth. Not only did they lose the war, now one of their own is responsible for martyring Abraham Lincoln. Aside from murdering him and having it backfire, he created a mythical figure in Abraham Lincoln that he never could have achieved had he not been assassinated,
Right.
So it's just an incredible story. It's fast-paced. It's very it has a lot to do with the divisive nature of the American political system as it exists today. People have you hear it every day. We've never been more divided than we are right now. And I'm like, of course we fucking have. It was called the Civil War, right? When a bunch of states said we're no longer part of the United States,
That's a
right?
good point.
That's
Good point.
as divided as we've ever been. When we had 4 years of Americans killing Americans by the hundreds of thousands, okay? 600,000 people died during the Civil War, which was about 2% of the entire population of the United States, okay? That would be like 6 million people dying today
Wow.
in a 4 year period. Okay. So it was an incredibly divisive time. A lot of what's going on today politically is mirrored in what was going on back then politically. In terms of use of the media, in terms of people with cult-like status with followers who will believe whatever they say, people who think, you know, no matter what the other side says, they're wrong and we're right. Like all of this stuff that's going on, it's very, very prevalent to today's political and environment and political climate. And the bottom line is that despite this huge series from Apple Plus, okay, who gets it wrong at almost every turn, this remains the greatest story never told. Just bottom line, you know,
Very interesting.
with the greatest villain in American history, John Wilkes Booth.
Yeah, we don't talk about him that much in these days.
And we should.
And
What do you
doesn't he
know
have
about
a
him?
wasn't he like wasn't he a wealthy guy? He was an actor or came from wealth or something. What's the deal with that?
Okay, so the way that I position him, because that's my claim at the beginning, the onset of the series, is that I don't claim to be a historian. I just say that I'm a storyteller, and I just want to tell the story the right way, because what I think all other versions have been lacking is appropriate context that will make the story accessible to a modern audience. Okay, and so John Wilkes Booth doesn't really exist today, okay, because it would be like he was every bit as famous in his time as like DiCaprio is today. He was a mega star, Booth, okay, but the comparison would be much more accurate if DiCaprio's older brother was Daniel Day-Lewis and if their father was Marlon Brando, okay. He came from a dynastic acting family, all right, and the way that Daniel Day-Lewis is like the actor's actor and DiCaprio was a star. That's how Booth was compared to his older brother, Edwin. Edwin Booth was like, he is the leading Shakespearean actor of his generation, where John Wilkes Booth does Shakespeare, but also does these other huge romantic acrobatic roles where he has to fight all the time and make the women swoon. Okay. So Booth was the star, Edwin was the actor's actor, and their dad was the patriarch of this dynastic acting family. So it would be kind of like the Baldwin clan a little bit with the four brothers, but they lack that additional older generation of stardom also. So
Was the dad from Europe, or were they
the dad,
all?
yeah, Junius Booth was an immigrant from England. He was a big actor there. When he came here within a month, he had a lead in a touring Shakespeare group. And within a year, he was a huge star and worked forever.
And then the kids were born here.
All the kids were here. Yep.
And are they from the South, though?
They're from Maryland, which
Oh.
technically a southern state below the Mason-Dixon line,
Correct.
but didn't secede from the Union.
Yeah.
Stayed part of the Union the whole time. But they were from a very progressive abolitionist family, like artistic. He was the only member of his family that was a Southern sympathizer by far. It estranged him from his brothers. The same way today, how politics split families in
Just
half.
Does your show explore, and I don't even know if this would be possible, but does it explore that psychology at all? Like, what was his
Oh,
deal?
tons.
Oh, it does. Okay.
It explores how Booth went from a progressive Northern family to become, you know, a murderous tool of the Southern rebellion. That's a big part of it.
Okay, so you get into all that.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
When
It's
is the
in
sh when's the
for
show coming out?
the winter. We're still figuring out. It's done. It's
Yeah.
done. So it's dropping. Not really sure. Now, b before summer.
And this is
Soon.
one of those podcasts that's like a contained story. It's like 10 episodes. Here's
Yeah,
what's the here's the story.
it'll be eight episodes. Then I'm going to do an additional few episodes rewatching the Apple Plus series,
Okay.
which was originally going to be a celebration of the Apple Plus series, but now it's probably going to be pretty critical
Gonna
of
be a
it.
roast.
Yeah, maybe. And then I want to keep the show going, you know, with little historical hits here and there, you know, about other assassinations that turned the tide of world history, like this one did. Yeah.
I think that's fascinating.
Yeah. And the interesting part about it was that the show, I bill it as a historical snapshot. Okay, it's just 17 days in April of 1865, from the 9th of April when the Civil War ends. Okay, Then 5 days later, Lincoln is assassinated. And then 12 days after that, Booth is captured and killed. And so the 12-day manhunt is a huge part of the story. Okay. And this is where I'm going to surprise you if you'll allow me. I want to turn the tables on you today and
Oh, okay.
see if you could survive being on the run from the Union Army in the spring of 1865, and if you would make better decisions than Booth did.
Oh, that's amazing. Are you telling me that you have created a survival scenario for me?
I have a loosely put together survival scenario for you. Are
Okay,
you
well,
game?
if you know if it's if you if I say A and the answer is B, you know, I'm allowed to push back on these things.
Of course you are. Of course you are. It's a way of exposing Booth's flight from justice to your audience in a way that that they'll recognize with a survival scenario.
That's spectacular. And you know, for any people out there listening, you know, if you're going to be a guest one day, you might have to do your homework and bring a scenario for me. I like this. Let's see what you got. Should we jump right in?
Let's jump right in if you want. Okay,
All
let's
right,
jump.
get your notes out, do what you got to do.
Oh, I've got it all. I have some notes, but I've got most of it up here. Because
Here we go.
you're from the area.
I'm from Maryland. I grew up in Maryland.
Okay.
I have I could flee the law in Maryland quite easily.
Now you now remember, you're John Wilkes Booth in this scenario. Okay. You're debonair. You're handsome. You own the city. Everyone in DC loves you.
Pretty
Okay.
accurate so far.
You could go anywhere you want. You eat free in restaurants. Okay. You live in a beautiful hotel. Your mailing address is Ford's Theater. That's where you go when you pick up your fan mail every day. You're recognized in the streets. You don't try to hide who you are. Okay. All right. So, evening of April 14th, 1865. Okay. You've decided that's the night because you found out that morning that the man that you're going to kill, President Lincoln, is going to arrive at the theater where you call home, Ford's Theater, where you've performed on stage hundreds of times. You have free run of the place. Okay. That Abraham Lincoln is going to be there watching a play. Okay. So, the first question that I have for you right now, and some of these are more hypothetical. Okay. You're counting solely on the element of surprise. That's all that you have. Okay, is the element of surprise. Okay. Now remember, you're an actor. You're theatrical. Okay. Do you use a gun or do you use a knife? Because you have set it up where you can get as close, you could sit in Lincoln's lap if you want to. Such is the element of surprise that you have afforded yourself through some setup and through your ability to move unimpeded throughout the theater during the show. Gun or a knife?
Well, good question. You know, I'm just going to say this. If I think I can get him alone, I'm going knife.
Wow, that's a personal. Okay,
So
very
here's
personal.
my reasoning. Obviously, it's a hypothetical, but I'm in a crowded theater. I have free rein of the place, but I got to get him alone. I got to use the knife because if people hear a gunshot, they're going to be looking for me right away. Now, if I don't care and I want them to know it was me and I want to be big theatrical, which is kind of my style, on the other hand, then I'm going gun for the big bang and the drama. So it's all right. So now that we've worked through this, given that I am a thespian, a man of great drama, I'm going with gun.
Okay, and you nailed it. That's exactly why he wanted everyone to know it was him. All right, the show is called The Ides of April. Okay, it's based on, I'm stealing that title obviously from the line in Julius Caesar, The Ides of March, beware Caesar, the Ides of March. Booth set himself up as Brutus killing the tyrant. Okay, he wanted everybody to know that it was him. Okay, he snuck into the theater, snuck into the presidential box, put a gun, this gun, I'm holding up a replica of the single shot Derringer,
That's a nice gun right there.
the back of Lincoln's head, just to the right of his left ear, pulled the trigger.
Is it true that Lincoln didn't die right away?
He lasted to 7 o'clock the next morning. Okay.
Oh, man.
And then you know what Booth did after he shot him in the head from the balcony? He jumped onto the stage so everybody could see that it was him.
Yes. I remember this part of the story with the broken leg.
Yes. But there's, we'll get to that. We'll get to that.
Okay.
So, all right. So now he has to escape. Okay. Knowing what you know about Booth, okay, do you think he would stay in DC where he's got people that will protect him, or will he try to get out of the city? Now, remember, it's late. It's after 10 o'clock. And the city has been shut down under general military orders that all bridges and ferry and docks and all of that, after sundown, you can't pass. But Booth knows that the surrender has happened and that all of these regulations have kind of relaxed. Okay. So he's got a million safe houses in DC, or his ultimate plan is to get to Virginia. But does he leave now? Does he try to get out of town, or does he stay in DC and let the heat die down?
It's a tough one. It's a tough one. I'm leaning towards stay in DC and let the heat die down.
Oh, okay. Well, here's the issue. Here's the issue. And there's no way you could have known this, but at the time, we all know about the Underground Railroad, okay? Harriet Tubman and ferrying slaves from the slave states to the free states in the North. And it was treated exactly like a railroad. They used that same language. You had tickets, stops were depots, people who helped were conductors, like, so you could speak freely and no one knew what you're talking about. There was actually a reverse of that, right? That would get Southern like prisoners of war who had managed to escape Northern prisons to get them into the safety of the South. Okay. And Booth had set up a network of people to help him along the way. So his intention was that he was going to be relying on his ability to get across the Navy Yard Bridge, right? Which connected Washington, D.C. with Maryland, right? That's where he was going to get that's where he was headed. So his plan was always to get out of the city as soon as humanly possible and to utilize his network of help to get
okay.
To the South.
Okay. See, that actually does make more sense, getting out right away. If you stay in, DC is not a very big place, you know, they can find you.
Right. So now we're coming up to the Navy Yard Bridge.
Okay.
Right? It's nighttime. It's about 10:30, 10:45. Okay. There are soldiers on the bridge. A young man named Silas Cobb was on duty that night.
Okay.
Okay. Now, Booth knows that his best chance of surviving this and going off into legendary status among the Confederacy, he's got to get over that bridge. You can't get into Virginia without getting through Maryland first. You can't get into Maryland without getting across the Navy Yard Bridge. All right.
Okay.
So he has two choices. He's armed. He's got a gun. He's got a knife. He has to get across that bridge. Does he rely on his charm, or does he rely on brute force?
Okay. Is there one soldier on the bridge, or is there's one soldier? Oh man. It's another tough one, man.
What would you do
if you know,
you
I
know,
if
you're
it was
Booth, dude,
if it was me, you know, let me just think this through, because I'm thinking what I would really do is I probably would try to charm the guy, but I would probably have my hand on my gun, like in my pocket, pointed
just
at
in
him.
Case. Yeah.
Like in case he decides to draw me down, I just shoot him through the pocket like the movies, you know, like fucking James Bond or some shit.
Well, you're right, but charm worked for Booth.
Okay. So he charm with the gun in the pocket is the correct.
He strolled up. He made sure he was near the lamp, so his face was lit, just in case the guy recognized him as an actor, which the guy did.
Oh, okay. And the guy back then, the guy maybe wouldn't have known that it was John Wilkes Booth who had killed the president.
Listen, exactly. And why is that? He was still riding ahead of the news. He was on a fast horse out of the city. The murder just happened 15 minutes ago, There's no, yep. he was betting that no one had gotten there first. That was a big gamble.
Okay. Yep.
And then this guy recognizes him and he goes, "Oh, Mr. Booth, what are you? I'm not supposed to let you cross. What's going on?" He goes, "Booth said he was going down to Charles County, Maryland." Okay. And he said, "What, why so late?" And this was the greatest line. I don't know if it's true or not, but this is what the guy said. "Mr. Booth told me that he had recently completed a stage engagement." And the guy felt like, "Oh, cool. You just finished you just finished a performance. Sure. Go ahead, man." And let him cross.
Perfect.
Now, so he makes it. So he makes it into Maryland. Now he's got to get where? He's got to get to Virginia. What's yep. between, what separates Maryland from Virginia? The Potomac.
Okay. Yep.
Yeah. All right. So now it was, here's some, you mentioned the broken leg. Historically, we've been told that he broke his leg when he jumped off the stage, when he jumped off the balcony and landed on the stage. Uh-huh. That one of his boot spurs got caught in some of the decoration on the front of the balcony, threw him off balance, and he snapped his ankle. Okay.
It's actually pretty funny to think about his boots getting tangled up in the
right. curtains. But here's the problem with that. All right. It was his left leg that was broken. Okay. And there were 2,000 witnesses that saw him on stage. Okay. Because he made sure he stood center stage and that everybody saw him. And then everyone says, then he ran off through the back.
Yeah.
No
yeah.
one mentioned him limping. No one mentioned him screaming in pain.
Hey, side note. No one ever yeah. talks about what was the play? Was it a big famous?
It was called Our American Cousin. It was okay. a farce. Yeah.
It was a farce. Okay. I just had to get that thrown out there, yep. a little detail that was important to me. So he yep. doesn't hobble off according to 200.
Doesn't hobble 000. Off. Not only that, he's right-handed. Okay. So how does a right-handed person get on a horse? You put your left foot in the stirrup and swing your right leg over. Okay.
Okay.
Right. So
everyone. Wait, he was left-handed?
He's right-handed.
Oh, okay. Gotcha.
Right-handed. Okay. So everyone was watching him escape. Put his left foot in the stirrup, put all of his weight on it, and no one said anything about it.
Can't believe okay? no one else in the house had a gun on him.
And then when he gets to the Navy Yard Bridge, you weren't allowed to ride your horse across the bridge. You have to walk it across the bridge. And the soldier on duty didn't mention anything about him limping. Okay.
Okay.
And then Booth wrote, and here's why people historically believe that he broke his leg when he jumped off the balcony. He wrote in his journal, "In jumping, broke my leg." Okay. Now, there was an account that came to light years ago of Booth's companion that he met in Maryland, a co-conspirator named Davy Harold, that he confided to Davy Harold that he was thrown from his horse and broke his leg. So that passage in his journal, "In jumping, broke my leg," has come to be interpreted as jumping over something with his horse, was thrown and fell and broke his leg. Okay. Sometime between him assassinating Lincoln and arriving at a place called Lloyd's Tavern to pick up their go bags that they had initiated earlier that morning, they Smart. Sent a message to one of their compatriots at Lloyd's Tavern. "We need food, we need brandy, we need weapons, and we need maps." That's a good fucking go bag. Right?
Yeah, yeah.
And I had him ready. But by the time they got to Lloyd's Tavern, Booth couldn't get off his horse, couldn't walk. His leg was so badly broken. Okay.
Oh, shit.
So now, next question.
Okay.
What do you do about the broken leg? You know that by dawn, the entire Union Army is going to be after you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Do you make a detour to see a doctor that you know to set your leg? Or do you continue on with your established stops on this reverse underground railroad to get into Virginia?
Man, you've done a great job with the scenario. Another tough one.
Thank you.
All right, let me just think this one through again, because the fact that the army is going to be on my ass makes me want to keep going. But
yeah, right. But have you had a severely broken lower leg when you're riding a horse?
I have not. And I just want to throw it back to the Cade days. because his advice was always address what's gonna kill you first. So I'm gonna set the leg.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. So they make a detour to the house of Dr. Samuel Mudd. Okay. Now, here's another question right away.
Yeah.
Right away. Samuel Mudd's a homeboy. Okay. Co-conspirator. Booth almost involved him in the plot to murder Lincoln because Mudd agreed to help an earlier plot that involved kidnapping Lincoln and then exchanging him for prisoners of war. Okay. Didn't know whether or not Mudd would be cool with, hey, now we're just going to murder people. Okay. So when you arrive at Dr. Mudd's house at 3 o'clock, at 3 in the morning, knowing that he's a friend and that he is thus far innocent of anything having to do with this,
mm-hmm.
do you tell him what you did or do you make up a story about how you broke your leg?
All right. So if it's me,
yeah.
See, I'm balancing between being John Wilkes Booth and being myself.
Yeah, sure.
Even though I know you told me I am him, but if it's me personally, I'm not telling him. I'm not telling him.
Why?
You don't tell him because, you know, he's going to get interviewed. And for one thing, you don't want to burn your friend. If he knows, now he is essentially an accomplice to the murder of the president. If he doesn't know, he can reset your leg and you can move on, you know. So, on the one hand, you're not going to fuck your friend over. And on the other hand, when he inevitably does get interviewed, you still want him to know nothing about where you're heading and where you've come from, because the less he knows, the less he can tell them anyways. So it's kind of a double win, you know.
That's great.
So I'm going with don't tell.
Yep, don't tell. And there was an additional layer. You thought through that really well. The additional layer was also one of survival for Booth. If he told Mudd right away, Mudd could say, I can't even set your leg, dude. I can't aid and abet the murderer of the president. I can't.
Yeah,
and now here's what's interesting. At this point, remember, obviously no phones, no TV, no Twitter, no internet, no nothing. Booth wasn't even sure if he had succeeded. He knew that he shot Lincoln, but wasn't sure if he was dead or not. Okay. He would like up until now, he would say, I'm fairly certain that we assassinated the president tonight. So he didn't know. So he and his companion, Davey, told Mudd that Booth had been thrown from his horse and they were heading back to Washington, D.C. Okay. They spend the night there.
Now, wait, side note. I also got to add, especially because I know you're a writer, someone should write a show where Lincoln didn't die.
Mm.
And he's just like all fucked up and he has to like solve problems, but he's just like all fucked up. All right. Continue.
The next morning, Dr. Mudd is in a place called Bryantown getting farming supplies, and it's overrun with Union troops who are looking for the assassinators of the president, and they use the name John Wilkes Booth, and he's traveling with a younger man. There's two of them. They might be in the area. So Mudd now is like, these motherfuckers lied to me. My buddy, my good friend lied to me, but he kept his cool. Goes back to the house and says, hey, John, we need to fucking talk. He goes, I just ran into a bunch of Union soldiers saying that you killed the president. And what does Booth say? I did it. There's confirmation. The man's dead. I fucking did it. Yeah, hell yeah. And so Mudd was no friend of the black man. He was no friend of Abraham Lincoln. He was very, very happy that Booth did what he did. But he also knew that he was instantly complicit in the crime.
Yeah. Okay. Yep.
Not sure how badly he was going to have to pay for it. For basically honoring his Hippocratic oath, doctor has to set the leg.
Okay. That's a good point. That's a good point.
But he went a step further and gave Booth supplies, reintroduced him to new steps along that reverse railroad. He said, you need to go to this guy and then to this guy because these people are burned now because you weren't there last night, so they're gone. And he also said, when the investigators get here, even though you're going south, I'll tell them that you went east. I'll send them in the wrong direction.
Oh, this guy's getting some prison time.
Yeah, no shit. Okay. So his leg is splinted. Great. And Booth shaves his mustache, okay, to
Gotta
hide
do
his
that.
appearance. Gotta do that. And now they're off. And now they have to get across the Potomac River, and they don't know how they're gonna fucking get there. Oh man, we're running out of time, but that's okay. Because we're almost done. So Booth meets a guy through friends, a guy called the River Ghost, who lived his whole life. He's a waterman along the Potomac. Okay.
Got a
And
badass name.
yeah, what?
He's got a badass name.
Yeah, he sure does. Fucking River Ghost, dude.
Yeah.
That's what the Union called him, because he would just disappear. He could get people across the river. He could get supplies or spies or information, like anything, across the river at any time. They could never catch him. They knew he existed. They couldn't find where he stashed his boats, and they could never find him. They didn't know his identity. So Booth and Harold, they had to, it's what's called the Lost Week. They had to live for 5 days in a really dense pine thicket until the Union troops moved out of that area and figured, all right, they're not here, we could go somewhere else. They had to let the heat die down. Okay. So now Booth asked every day, he said, bring us food, bring me newspapers, because he wanted to read his reviews, how
Of
people were
course.
viewing what he did, right? Of course. And feed for the horses. Okay. Now here's the last question.
Okay.
What do you do with the horses? They're loud. They're hungry. Okay. They've been good animals to them. It was suggested by the River Ghost, you've got to kill the horses. And Booth is, and Davy Harold's like, no, I'm not doing it. The decision was left to Booth. What if we need them? What if the boat thing doesn't work out? We need to leave. And the River Ghost is like, yo, it's hard enough for me to bring enough food for two men without raising suspicion in the town, but now I have to bring feed for your horses also. Eventually, someone's going to ask, and if they don't like my answer, they're going to follow me and they're going to find you. So Booth is faced with this task: do I kill the horses, or do I let them live in case we need to escape? What do you do?
Shit, man. And I just had a horse guy on like a week ago. I'm personally, let me just work this through. What I would personally do is I would not want to kill the horses, and I'm thinking that I need them. But if I put myself in Booth's shoes and I'm there with the River Ghost and he's my guy, you know, he's my guy. I got to go with what the guy that's getting me out is telling me. You know, you got to follow your experts in that scenario, and it breaks my heart. I would probably plead with him, can I just, like, you know, do the old movie thing and slap the horse on the ass and send it on its way, you
Right,
know?
but what if, right, but then what if that happens to be just as a patrol is a mile away and they see two horses coming out of the pine thicket, right?
I think, you know, I already killed a human, so I guess what's two more horses? Yeah, so
So
I think I'm gonna kill the horses. I gotta go with what the River Ghost tells me to do.
that's what he did. So he sent Davy about a quarter mile away from where they were to where there's like a swamp, and Davy shot one each horse in the head one time. And historians for years now have been trying to find that spot, because there's a chance that since they fell into a swamp that these horses are preserved and they would have massive
Whoa.
historical significance, but no one's ever been able to find them.
Was
So
that,
yeah.
I'm curious, did you have other questions and we're out of time, or was that it?
No, there were maybe a few more having to do with it, because then, you know, then shit gets crazy. Then, you
Yeah.
know, then
Well,
things
you'll have
start
to
happening.
come back and do a part two or something.
Well, I wanted to save the rest of it so people would listen to the show and could
I see what you're doing.
figure
It's quite
out
the salesman.
how the rest of it. But you did a great job, man. You would be able to assassinate someone and escape through the Maryland countryside. Good for you.
Yeah, it would be no problem for me. Hypothetically speaking.
Sure, hypothetically speaking. But anyway, listen, the show is called The Ides of April. Maybe we'll do some feed drop swaps when it comes out, and
Yeah.
we'll promote each other, and
Do you know when it's out?
I hope people listen to it. No, I have a meeting with the network next week, and we're figuring out the schedule. But I would say within a month it's going to come out.
When it comes out, we'll do an announcement on the show.
Yeah, we'll do another thing. Awesome.
Yeah.
Well, well done. You've survived. You survived the assassination of Abraham Lincoln. Good for you.
Thank you, my friend. That was a blast.
That was fun, man. I'm glad you were game to have the tables turned. Has anyone done that to you before?
No, that was the
Oh,
first
come
time.
on. No
Yeah.
shit. All right,
Yeah.
great. Glad
Super
that
stoked on
worked.
that. Yeah.
Glad that
Appreciate
worked
it. Thanks for coming on the show.
I appreciate it, man. Thank you again for having me back. This was always a good time. I'm glad things are
Man.
going well.